Happy New Year. It's 2022. Welcome to the first podcast episode of the new year, and I'm very excited. With the new year comes new things. And starting here at home, I have made a change or two, and we'll experience some of those changes immediately and some gradually. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to welcome you back, and again, Happy New Year, year 2022. This is your Soul Driven, Soul Intended podcast. And for the new year, I have decided, or more so, was spiritually led to dub and name this podcast Spiritually Logic. So Soul Driven, Soul Intended presents to you Spiritually Logic podcast, where I am your host, coach, and creator of all things Soul Driven, Soul Intended, Bryce Bryson. So welcome again to 2022, and this is the first episode of the new year. And this episode, we will be talking about and dealing with spiritual gifts. Now, because of the vastness of this particular topic, this will be an ongoing forum, and we'll look at spiritual gifts from different aspects. Spiritually, through Christian views, biblical views, and other religious sects, sext, S-E-C-T-S, not S-E-X, for you freaks out there. So just to get a broader spectrum of spiritual gifts and what they are and what the collective believe they are or receive them to be. Okay, so with that said and done, we're just gonna go ahead and get right into it. What are spiritual gifts? Are they the same as talents? Per Dr. Jim Dennison, William Borden was heir to the Borden Dairy fortune, but he abandoned immeasurable wealth to serve God as a foreign missionary. Tragically, he contracted meningitis before reaching his destination and died. Among his possessions was found this scribbled note summarizing his life passions, quote, "No reserve, no retreat, no regrets," end quote. His story and motto captured the heart of a generation and galvanized thousands for mission service. So how can our faith be as bold, as joyous as his? How can we serve Jesus with such passion today? It is said that spiritual gifts are a crucial, often neglected part of that answer. God's supreme gift to his people is himself. He gave his son for us, sending him to die in our place so our sins could be forgiven, per John 3:16. He has made us his children by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9, giving us new life in his spirit, Romans 8:9. I'm sorry, I can't help but see the synchronization of 8:9, my birthday, August 9th, 1981, 8:9. Moving forward, now his spirit lives in us, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and wants to use us to lead others to follow Jesus. He has given us spiritual gifts as a means to this end. Spiritual gifts are to the church what organs and limbs are to the human body. When we learn about spiritual gifts, we discover the anatomy of the church, the body of Christ. Our gifts are God's equipment provided to help us grow in our faith. When we identify God-given gifts and abilities, we know better how to serve our Father, the Most High. We are empowered by God's Spirit to accomplish God's will for our lives. We live and share the Christian faith with joy. And at the end of our work on earth, we can say, no reserve, no retreat, no regrets. So who exactly has spiritual gifts? Well, it is said that every believer has at least one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, Ephesians 4:7, given at his or her salvation. So per this idealism, one has to be saved in order to receive or at least activate one spiritual gift at minimum. It is also said that no believer has every spiritual gift, which I do believe that. It is said in 1 Corinthians 12:12, Synchronization 27:29-30. Our gifts differ from each other, which is also true. I agree. Romans 12:3-6. And we receive our gifts according to God's will, not our own desire or experience. 1 Corinthians 12:11 and Ephesians 4:7-8. So obviously we'll be dealing from the biblical sense, Christianity, at this point. Maybe even a little, Catholic. Maybe we'll see moving forward. So what are spiritual gifts? From a biblical sense, Christianity, the New Testament includes three lists of spiritual gifts. In Romans 12:3-8, we encounter seven gifts. The gift of prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, and mercy. In 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, we find nine gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, also known as discernment, speaking in different kinds of tongues, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And thirdly, in Ephesians 4:11, we discover four gifts of the apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Some interpreters see pastor and teachers as two separate gifts, which I do agree with that, though the Greek syntax seems to indicate that they are one function, one in the same. This particular list is best known as the fivefold ministry, separating if you separate pastors and teachers, okay, which I believe to have been a part of when I was coming up in the Christian faith, a part of that my gifts were inset with the fivefold ministry, prophecy being a prophet, which I do still stand by those gifts in relation, quote unquote, to the Christian faith. I am a prophet. I am a seer. I am extremely intuitive. That's one of my main gifts, which I'm very grateful and appreciative for. And my intent is to always operate in the vein of light and love for the good and higher good and expansion for mankind, and not to use for greed or ill-intended purposes. Okay. Moving forward, combining the various lists, we discover these gifts: administration, which is organizing people and ministries effectively; apostleship, adapting to a different culture to share the gospel or do ministry; discernment, distinguishing spiritual truth from error or heresy. Discernment is one of the most important spiritual gifts, if you ask me, to have, because you need to be able to discern, to decipher, to tell when something is of light energy or shadow energy, good or bad energy, intended to uplift someone or intended to destroy someone. Discernment is very, very important. They say that that is the one spiritual gift that you ask to have and that you ask to operate in. Moving forward, evangelism, sharing the gospel effectively and passionately, exhortation, encouraging others as they follow Jesus. Jesus is one of my besties, just an FYI. Faith, which is seeing God's plan and following it with passion. Giving, which is investing with unusual sacrifice and joy in God's kingdom. Healing, being used by God to bring physical health in situation or supernatural, ways, which I have to, at this moment, attest to that. It is, what, this is technically January. What is this? January 14th, 2:16 a.m. At this time, I've been in the hospital for 22 days. That's 3 weeks. And at the time that I came in, I was literally dying. The doctor confirmed today through our conversation and just checking up is that when I came in, I was on the way out. I was literally dying. And this is not something that I generally share to the public or have shared. But when I came in, I weighed 107 pounds. 107 pounds. 107 pounds. I'm so very grateful. And moving forward, healing. I have to repeat that. Being used by God to bring physical health in supernatural ways. Physical health in supernatural ways. I mentioned that to say that it was absolutely a supernatural blessing that I'm still here 22 days later in the land of the living, getting better, gaining weight. 137 pounds right now, by the way. And looking good, feeling good. Intercession. Praying with unusual passion and effectiveness. Interpretation of tongues, being used by God to explain to others the message given by the Spirit through tongues. Knowledge, including discerning and sharing the deep truths of God's word and will. Leadership, motivating and inspiring others to serve Jesus fully. Mercy, showing God's grace to hurting people with unusual passion. Miracles, being used by God in ministry which transcends natural explanation. Prophecy, speaking the word of God with personal passion and effectiveness. Serving, meeting practical needs with unusual sacrifice and joy. Shepherding, helping others grow spiritually, speaking in tongues. Okay, well, let me go back. Shepherding, helping others grow spiritually, speaking in tongues, which is using God-given spiritual language in prayer and worship. Teaching, explaining God's word and truth with unusual effectiveness and wisdom, relating biblical truth to practical life with great effectiveness. So, with all of that said and done, what one may ask, how do you know your spiritual gifts, or how can you know your spiritual gifts? Well, some believe that God reveals our spiritual gifts to us directly as His Spirit speaks to us, which I could agree with that. The Most High definitely and the Holy Spirit will speak to you, us, and lead and guide you and us to our spiritual gifts. They will reveal it to us in various ways. Okay? Others depend on the insight and opinions of godly believers, such as prophets or seers or psychics, quote unquote. Most theologians would add a third approach. Give attention to your God-given opportunities for service and to your interests, passions, and abilities. the Lord most typically uses us in ways consistent with our giftings, it is believed. For instance, if you are often asked into a leader position or leadership position, you may well be gifted for that role. The Lord, the Most High Holy Spirit, usually gives us a desire to become involved in those ministries for which we are gifted. And after he then blesses us the use of our gifts, or he then blesses us with the use of our gifts so that we can identify their existence by their effectiveness. So simply said, we're most often drawn to ministries or to serve in the capacity of which our spiritual gifts are and are given unto us. Several spiritual gift analysis tools are available today. Okay. And that is available through Interactive Spiritual Gifts, which is available for use by Dr. Jim Dennison and his congregation. I'll get that information to you at the end of the podcast. No plugs here. Amen. Amen. The Lord typically uses us in ways consistent with our giftings. Okay, so as we utilize our gifts and other approaches, it is said that it is preferred to know that the Father wants us to discover and use our gifts even more than we do. Okay, if that makes sense. Everyone is on a unique spiritual journey with God. God never changes, but how he expresses himself through his individual followers can differ. This reflects the fact that God has a plan for each person's life that plays a specific part in his master plan of making himself known to the world. So the spiritual gifts God gives people are part of his perfect plan for their lives. He gives each of his followers the same spirit because it's his spirit, but he knows each person perfectly and individually. So he knows which gifts are part of his plan to work in the world through them. Not all of his followers receive the same spiritual gifts. All of the spiritual gifts the Bible describes are significant, and they work best when used in the context of life within a community of other Christians. Spiritual gifts are different from talents. Talents are specific abilities like skill at the piano or in a sport. Talents can be practiced and developed through hard work. People who do not have the Holy Spirit within them still have many talents, and some of them might look like the gifts that we discuss, but they cannot access the enabling power of the Holy Spirit in exercising those talents. If you are a follower of Jesus, as you continue growing spiritually, your gifts may become clearer and more accessible. Over time, God uses circumstances to help you better understand your gifts and use them as part of his plan. But remember, you cannot work harder to earn a particular gift. When the Bible talks about grace, it is describing things God gives to us that we do not deserve and cannot earn. Spiritual gifts are gifts of grace. There's one more thing, and it's crucial regarding spiritual gifts. God gives them to his followers for the benefit of the wider, quote-unquote, Christian community. One of the most important passages that teaches about spiritual gifts in the Bible, quote-unquote, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the New International Version. Now, as we go over these spiritual gifts in the next portion of this podcast, remember that whichever gift you believe to have been given by God is not only meant for your personal growth, but for the collective of this planet, of this world, of the people, in order to elevate in higher consciousness. It is my belief. Amen. Amen. So we'll get into the different types of spiritual gifts per Christianity and the Bible. Quote, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12. "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God is giving you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Romans 12, 6 through 8. New Living Translation. The Bible describes several spiritual gifts and the way Jesus followers or the ways Jesus followers should use them. All gifts are significant, as it is said, and all come from the same Spirit. They are all meant to point people to God and his light, and they are to be used for the good and higher consciousness and elevation of his people. Christians have different viewpoints about whether all of the spiritual gifts the Bible talks about are still active today, but we'll focus on describing the gifts that most Christians believe and agree that God gives to believers now. Okay? So one of the first on the list is administration. Per 1 Corinthians 12, 28, "With this gift, the Holy Spirit enables followers of Jesus to organize, direct, and implement plans to lead others in different settings. Those with this gift help others accomplish their goals." Now, in the Bible, in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, we see a group of people being given the responsibilities of administration so that the apostles, who were the people Jesus had charged to lead the church in sharing the gospel, could focus on the specific work God was giving them to preach about Jesus. Organizing things may not feel like a very spiritual gift, but Stephen was one of this group, and in chapter 7, or Stephen, In chapter 7, we see how powerfully God uses him to spread the message of Jesus. Some ways the gift of administration might be used are coordinating events, working in a church office, and helping plan different aspects of ministry. When someone takes care of organizing and coordinating, not only are others freed up to focus on whatever God is calling them to do, but administrators ensure that the church's efforts to build others up are carried out smoothly. Next is apostleship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, Ephesians 4 and 11. The gift is not to be confused with the office of an apostle, which was held by Jesus's original disciples, the men who followed him and learned from him during his ministry on earth. Those with the spiritual gift of apostleship often start new ministries, going into places where people have not heard about Jesus, and communicate across cultures to establish churches in challenging environments and develop leaders. People with this gift often thrive in contexts where they are starting new things and pioneering new ways to do old things. Discernment. Now, this is one of the most important ones to me in my personal path. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. Discernment. Someone with the gift of discernment will know with confidence whether behaviors or teachings are consistent with the Bible. They can discern when something is not from God. This helps a community of believers to be on the alert for false teaching that could distract from or damage what God has called them to do. People with this gift are great mentors. They might also be suited to working with various groups. They might also be suited to working with various groups in a church or ministry setting in which they can protect and guide them toward biblical truth. Find out more about what Christian mentoring is and how to do it. Water break. Excuse my pauses in between, because as I'm sipping on water and eating vanilla pudding, I'm actually recording this podcast while I'm still in the hospital. So bear with me, okay? So the next one is evangelism, which is Ephesians 4:11. While all Christians are commanded to share the hope they have in Christ with others, Matthew 28:16-10, 1 Peter 3:15, some people have a specific gift in this area. People with this gift might be well suited to roles within a church or ministry that are focused on outreach and developing evangelism skills in other Christians. They might also be great at working with populations outside of the church or specific ministry that have little knowledge of the gospel. Next up is exhortation and encouragement, Romans 12:8. The Spirit of God gives this gift to people so they can strengthen and encourage those who are struggling in their faith. Those with the gift of encouragement can uplift and motivate others, as well as challenge them to grow as Christians and take steps of faith. Many people with this gift can gently correct people when they are living in a way that is quote-unquote not consistent with the teaching of the Bible. People with this gift are great at building others up, and this can happen in service teams, small groups, and one-on-one mentoring relationships. We'll move on to faith. 1 Corinthians 12:9. The Holy Spirit distributes the gift of faith to someone, to some, to encourage and build up believers in their confidence in God. Someone with this gift expects God to move and is not surprised when he answers a prayer or performs a miracle. This is not to be confused with faith in a more general sense, which any Christian who trusts in God has. Now, we'll go ahead and take a break right there, and we'll get back with the next segment of Spiritually Logic and continue down the list of spiritual gifts from a biblical Christian point of view. So, moving on from faith, we have giving. Romans 12:8. People with this spiritual gift love to share what God has given them with others, and they do so generously and cheerfully. They are typically very hospitable and will seek out opportunities to help others. These people help support ministries, providing the finances and or resources needed to do the work they want to do. They are also well equipped for helping charities or missions that provide practical resources for others by giving financially. Next up is helping, 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. This spiritual gift is given to some believers to fill the many gaps in ministry as well as daily life, and to meet the needs of people with other gifts who are then able to use their spiritual gifts to build up other followers of Christ. People with this gift are great in roles focused on caring for others. They can bring meals to those who are in tough situations, provide rides to people going to doctor's appointments. They can help collect donations for the underprivileged. These people look for practical needs they can meet and then jump in to meet them. A person with a helping gift can also make an effective second in command by helping a leader with the burdens of his or her position. Next up is knowledge, 1 Corinthians 12, 8. The Holy Spirit gives this gift to some believers who love to study the scriptures and communicate them to others in an easily understandable way. They like to study things in depth so they have a thorough grasp of complicated subjects. They generally love helping others understand the things they are learning. People with knowledge gifts are often experts in a field and therefore become valuable consultants when expertise is needed. They would be great at developing a Bible study curriculum for small groups or creating other content to be used by believers. Next up is leadership, 1 Corinthians 12, 8. Those with the gift of leadership care for God's people and help them develop deeper relationships with Christ and one another. They put time and energy into helping others succeed and grow in their gifts. They inspire people to accomplish their spiritual goals. Leaders are skilled at communicating a vision that people are motivated to be a part of. People with these qualities are good as church elders, small group leaders, and mentors. They are great at leading groups that do various types of Christian ministry. From there, we have mercy, Romans 12, 8. Someone with the gift of mercy feels compelled to help relieve the suffering of the people around them. They want to show compassion to the hurting and help them through the trials of life. This moves them to take action, coming alongside someone to help them feel encouraged and ease their suffering. These are also traits of an empath. People with the gift of mercy are great in places that provide care. They make great counselors. They are great with practical help, such as providing meals, hospital visits, and helping meet the physical needs of anyone going through hard times. Then we have pastoring, Ephesians 4:11. Pastors are called and empowered by God to care for the spiritual well-being of a local body of God's people. Those with this spiritual gift teach, guide, protect, and lead other believers in the mission that God has for His church, namely, to spread the message about Jesus Christ around the world. The Holy Spirit also provides pastors with teaching gifts to help the people they lead to understand God's word and apply it to their lives. From there, we move into service, Romans 12, 7. The gift of service is the ability to work well for the Lord, often doing behind-the-scenes tasks. Many people with this gift enjoy serving in vital ways that allow a ministry to move forward smoothly and effectively. This encourages people around them because they are free to focus on other things, feeling confident that behind-the-scenes jobs are being done. People with the gift of service are a great asset to churches or ministries organizing events because they are willing to do all the smaller tasks involved. They are also great at serving the needs of the other people, such as taking care of household duties for someone who is sick or hurting, bringing a meal to someone, or helping fix a vehicle for someone who is experiencing financial difficulty. Water break. From service, we move into teaching. Romans 12, 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Ephesians 4, and 11. Those with this gift can teach, instruct, explain, and communicate God's word in an effective way. Those with this gift are great at leading small groups and Bible studies. They may also be great at one-on-one mentoring. From teaching, we move on to wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. Those with the spiritual gift of wisdom tend to have an understanding and a biblical perspective on different situations that arise. They can speak into these things to encourage believers to respond as the Bible would have them. This encourages the right perspective and can urge both individuals and a church body to walk well with the Lord. Those who have the gift of wisdom are often good at counseling leaders or serving as mentors. They have an important role in the creation of content to teach and lead a group, such as Bible study material. In general, people with the gift of wisdom are great friends to talk to in the midst of confusing or stressful situations. They can provide good perspective in times of stress. So in this final segment, we're going to go ahead and get into some different perspectives on spiritual gifts. While most believers agree that spiritual gifts exist, there are different views about whether all the gifts we see in the Bible are still given to Christians today. Some people believe that the Holy Spirit gave certain gifts only for a short period after Christ returned to heaven. They believe the purpose of these gifts was to reveal God's glory and validate the message the early followers of Jesus were preaching. This was necessary because believers did not have the Bible as we do today, since the New Testament had not yet been written. Others believe that all spiritual gifts are still being given to believers today and are still being used to reveal God and draw others to Him. They believe that all the gifts are given to the church, which is what we call all followers of Christ everywhere, not to be confused with the physical church building. Each person's gift and all work together to advance God's kingdom. Now, the purpose of spiritual gifts is said, or is believed, that while each believer has specific gifts, all of the gifts serve one primary purpose. They are intended to glorify God. As in scripture, quote, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. 1 Corinthians 12:7. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11. The message, end quote. So spiritual gifts are to draw attention to God's goodness and to encourage those who believe in Him. Spiritual gifts should never be used to call attention to self or make self appear more important than anyone else. They are to uplift everyone. The Spirit empowers believers to use their gifts in ways that point to God. So in terms of determining what your gifts are, as followers of Jesus grow in their faith and learn to recognize the Holy Spirit in their lives, they grow in the awareness of the gifts they already have. This allows them to use their gifts more effectively as they walk in greater obedience to and intimacy with Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, pursuing a deeper relationship with God will help you become more aware of your gifts and how you can use them. Spending time reading the Bible and praying is essential because it enables you to know who God is and what He's calling you to be a part of as you join His work in the world. This is the context in which you use the gifts the Holy Spirit gives you. So in having relationships with other believers helps you find, or having relationships, with other believers helps you refine your gifts because they were intended to be used as a blessing to other people. Accountability with an older, trusted believer will help you nurture your spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not meant to be used in isolation. They are meant to be used amongst others, including those who do not yet know Christ. The spiritual gifts can act as an incredible sign to the people in your life who do not know God, the Most High, that there is something different about you and that it has to do with your relationship with Jesus. So you may ask yourself, how is knowing your spiritual gifts can affect your life? And in that right, many people go through their lives without a thought for their spiritual gifts. Everyone has them, but not everyone recognizes them. But God gives these gifts to His children as an act of love. You are significant to God. In recognizing your gifts, you gain a deeper appreciation of the way He created you and the identity He gives you when you trust in Him. As you grow in your understanding of your gifts and what the Holy Spirit can do through you, your affection for Christ grows. You also mature in your awareness of people around you and the role God wants to play in their lives as well as yours. Using your gifts as God intended is part of going deeper in your relationship with Him. So with that said, you may ask yourself, where do you go from here? And the best answer to that question is praying, going within, and asking the Most High for guidance, direction, inspiration, discernment, and intuition. With that said, that ends this episode of Spiritually Logic Podcast, brought to you by Soul Driven, Soul Intended. Again, I am Bryce Bryson, your host, coach, and creator of all things Soul Driven, Soul Intended. If you would like to go ahead and pledge your monthly donation or subscription, you can go ahead and click on the support link at the bottom of this podcast. It will take you to the page where you input your credit or debit card information and select your pledge to pay 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 that will be drafted from that card and or account each month. Or you can send your individual pledges to my Cash App at Bryce Bryson or my Venmo, Bryce Bryson. Okay? Once again, thank you for being soul driven and tuning into this podcast episode of Spiritually Logic. Until next time, deuces.